I'm Lillian Vasquez with LifeSales on KVCR. Thanks for listening. This Memorial Day weekend, we'll hear a story in remembrance of those who served in World War II and for those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Garland Waller is the producer and director of The Silent Soldier and the Portrait, a documentary about her father, one of the last living survivors of a World War II tragedy kept secret for decades. Garland shares how she discovered her father's story and then followed his footsteps to document his journey. During their trip, her father was finally able to return a memento from the war that weighed heavily on his heart for many years. The Silent Soldier and the Portrait has received several awards. My conversation with producer Garland Waller is coming up next, right after the NPR newscast. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Garland Waller is a documentary producer, a writer, an associate professor at Boston University with the College of Communication and TV and Film. Welcome to Lifestyles, Garland.
Thank you. I am delighted to speak with you.
So let's set the stage first. You have a background in television as a producer. You've worked in radio, namely, I know you've been a panelist on Says You. Will you share a little bit about your producer background?
Sure. I got my start in television at WBZ-TV in Boston, and that was actually where I met my husband, Barry Nolan, who is also a panelist. Well, he is the full-time panelist on Says You, and I'm an occasional guest panelist. But I got my start there working on a children's program called Super Kids, and I hired Tom Bergeron to be the host. So that was a real long time ago when Tom was just getting started in television. And I eventually pitched the idea of doing a documentary to my bosses, and they said yes. And that actually took me on a trajectory for producing documentaries and specials really for the next 17 years that I was there at WBZ. And then when I came to Boston University, I was lucky enough to have the life of a professor where I had time to produce independent documentaries. And I did several independent documentaries related to battered women and child abuse and certain complications in America's family courts. So this documentary was quite a different take from the kind of sadness of the previous independent work.
All right, well, let's discuss that. The newest documentary that you're working on or have completed is The Silent Soldier and the Portrait. And this time the documentary, it's personal. It's the story of a World War II soldier whose military story is now complete after 75 years. And the soldier is John Waller, your father. How did this story surface now and why?
Well, I think that question yields one of the most interesting answers of the documentary itself. My father was a 19-year-old Army soldier who was crossing the English Channel on Christmas Eve of 1944. It was actually an old Belgian cruise liner that had been converted into a military vessel. And that Christmas Eve, that night, a German U-boat torpedoed the Leopoldville. And it ended up being the second greatest maritime military disaster in World War II, where 2,000 men were on board and over 800 of them died. And the rescue and the fallout from all of that was considered so messed up, and the military, the U.S. government, felt that if people heard about it, it would be demoralizing. It would be too much to keep American morale up. So they told all the soldiers who survived, you may not ever talk about this.
Wow.
And my father never talked about it. So that was in 1944, and about 4 years ago, I was helping my father move, and I came across this old photo album of pictures of him in the military and the discovery of something else.
now you're moving your father, and you come across some souvenirs or, I don't know, memory.
Letters, memory keeps. Letters, pictures, medals from the war, yes.
And so you and your father start to have a discussion, or is it not until you see the portrait that you start to have that discussion?
Well, first it was the photo album. So I opened up the photo album, and I said, how come I haven't ever seen this before? And he said, well, you know, it was just there. And then he told me about the Leopoldville. So it was the photo album and the pictures of his buddies. And then he mentioned the sinking of the Leopoldville and that story, which blew me away.
Sure.
And as a documentary producer, I'm sitting there thinking, my God, have I been sitting on one of the world's greatest stories for decades because I've been in the dark like everybody else.
Right.
So it was his telling me about that and our finding a letter that he eventually wrote to his mother describing that night that really triggered what came next.
And what came next?
And what came next was Dad said, oh, and there's something else. And he went to his top bureau drawer and he opened it and he pulled out a beautiful tiny French portrait that is actually called a miniature, but it was about the size of my hand. He then told me the story about how he and some buddies, shortly after they were recuperating in France, came upon an abandoned estate that had been all shot up and torn apart, and the only thing that was left in it was a safe. And he did what 19-year-old boys and buddies would do who were carrying hand grenades. He blew up the safe. He and his buddies blew up the safe. And his share of the take was that portrait. And he brought it home and he put it away. And when he and I were talking about the photos in the photo album, and then he brought out the portrait, the way we talked about it, I said, Dad, I feel like you feel bad about this and you'd like to return this portrait. He said, I have felt guilty about this all my life, but I don't know how to do it. So as a documentary producer, I went to my husband, Barry Nolan, and I said, honey, I think it's a documentary. I swear I think it's a documentary, but I don't want to spend 5 years raising money. And so the two of us decided we're going to take our iPads and an iPhone, and we're going to get additional audio equipment, and we're going to go to England and France with my dad and follow his footsteps. And that's what we did, and that's what the documentary is about.
My guest is Garland Waller. Her newest documentary is The Silent Soldier and The Portrait. So let's talk a little bit about that journey. You decide you and Barry are going to do this. You're going to record it on your iPad. But first you had to find out where you're going and who the woman was and where the chateau was and where to take your father, right?
Oh, yes. And believe me, that was daunting. And my cheery attitude soon turned a little sour when it was hard to find this place. But what we did and what is documented in the documentary is I went to the curator of provenance at the Museum of Fine Arts, and I said, can you help me? Can you point me in the direction of where I might find somebody who knows something about repatriation of art? And then I found a scholar at the Chrysler Museum in Norfolk who said, oh, the painting is from 1813 and it's from this part of France. And then I had a brilliant teaching assistant here at the university, and I said, see if you can use social media. We've narrowed it to this kind of area of France. See if you can contact some of the museums, however small, and see if they've ever seen this estate or any art from this particular artist. Now, in this story with you, I forgot to tell you one thing. In the photograph album was a picture that I thought my father had taken with his own camera, and it was of the estate. It was of the chateau.
Oh.
There was no it was just in there, and we thought it was a photograph. And part of what happens in the documentary is, as we are turning over every picture and trying to get any clue, we turn over that picture, and it's a little note from somebody saying, here's a picture I took of your precious Curligan. And that, we still didn't know where it was, but we knew that the estate was called Curligan. And so we were able to find that general area of France, and then museums and the Chamber of Commerce, and we would send them the photograph, and that was how we eventually found them.
Wow. So let's fast forward. You decide who it's going to be, you plan your trip, you get to, you know, travel to Europe, and then the story picks up a little bit more. The BBC finds an interest.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, if that was such a treat. What happened was we decided that we would follow in Dad's footsteps. And so that meant going to where he crossed the English Channel. And so I made some reservations on the ferry that crossed from England mm-hmm. to Cherbourg. And my husband, Barry, said, you know, they might actually be interested in this story. It's a good story. And I sent a letter, just a sort of general letter, and I got an immediate response saying, I forwarded it to our press people. And the press person called back from Brittany Ferries and said, we would love to have you as our guest. And would you mind terribly if I told a friend of mine who's at the BBC about this? And long story short, the BBC came and did a story on Dad's crossing and our taping Dad crossing the English Channel. And they were these people, you know, in this world where there are a lot of people who are suspicious of people and people not being friendly here or there. These people opened their hearts. They could not have been more wonderful, but that's how the story ended up on the BBC.
After a quick break, we'll hear how Garland's dad, John Waller, meets the family and visits the chateau. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Just joining us, I'm speaking with Garland Waller, producer and professor in television and film at Boston University. Her newest documentary is The Silent Soldier and the Portrait. And we now know the soldier is her father. Now, watching your father and in the documentary, he seems quite emotional and at his age and maybe going back for the first time. Can you describe how he felt or what he shared with you?
Yes. And I will say that, you know, he never talked about the war. He never talked about his experience in the war at all. I knew nothing. And when we started this project together, he started to tell me stories. And they were wonderful stories that as a daughter, I was just thrilled to hear, you know, about him being 19 and
sure.
20 and in the war and all of that. And then as we began this real journey where we got on the plane and crossed the Atlantic Ocean, he became much more thoughtful and a little scared, and he was a little nervous crossing the English Channel, because the truth is, the last time he crossed the English Channel, he was 19 years old and almost died.
Right.
And the captain of the ship treated him with such honor and respect. Dad got very choked up. And I had brought a wreath for him because the captain had taken the ship, the ferry, just a little bit off course so that we would be right over where the Leopoldville still lies at the bottom of the English Channel.
Oh.
And Dad was able to throw a wreath over and you know, say thank you to God for sparing him and, you know, a blessing on the men who died. And, I get choked up now. He was very choked up about that.
I bet.
And then, you know, when we found the family, that was a different kind of thing. But the whole process was one where at the end of it, he said, thank you so much. And, you know, when I think about this documentary, I hope that when people watch it, they will watch it with an eye towards how should I talk to my mother? How should I talk to my father or grandfather or great grandparents about what happened to them? Because I'll tell you, the takeaway I'm getting from so many people is, I wish I'd asked my father those questions before he died, or I never knew this about my grandparents. So, but that question that you ask of the feeling that he had and the emotion was quite dramatic.
I bet. You know, I think often about, you know, wanting to ask my father when he served in Korea, but it's always so, maybe if he's had a couple of drinks, I might get a little bit more information out of him, but otherwise I really don't get much. My husband can ask him stuff and he'll answer my husband more than he will me, but there's always, and we're very close, as I see that you know, when I watch it, you and your father are obviously very close, but I'm sure this brought you just a tad closer.
There's no question about it, and it's funny what you say about having a beer or a glass of wine, because that does serve to lubricate just a little bit. No question about it. It did bring my father and me much closer than we've ever been. Much.
That's wonderful. That's awesome just in itself. You found the family. You show up at the chateau? Or a chateau, yes. Nearby, or how? What's the end?
The situation was this. My dad was really afraid that the people who were the owners of the portrait would be very angry at him. So I told him before we left that we felt like we were pretty close to finding where it was, and we just drive around and explore and try to find the place, because I didn't want him to be so afraid to go. So what I did was find a lovely little French hotel, and the morning that we were going to meet with the French family that I had written to and set everything up and had everything all set up, that morning I told Dad, we found the chateau, and we found the family.
Wow.
And he was blown away and a little shook up. And then I said, they are going to come here and meet you and meet us, and then they're going to take us to Kerlingan and show us the Kerlingan of today.
Oh.
And then tonight, we're all going to sit down and have dinner together. So I had arranged all of that so that it was a seamless day and that nobody could get scared and back out.
Right. Yeah, of course. My guest is Garland Waller. Her newest production and documentary is The Silent Soldier and The Portrait. So why do you think he held on to it for all those years?
I think there were two reasons. I think the military told him not to talk about his war experience, and he didn't, and that was that. And the other thing is, he felt very guilty about this theft. And even though it was wartime, and even though that was happening all over the place, and even though it was four guys fooling around, and, you know, the house had been abandoned, he was a good boy. He grew up on a farm during the Depression. He read his Bible every day and in high school. I mean, he was a good boy, and he had done something that made him feel really guilty. And another part of it was my mom, his first wife, wouldn't let him put up the portrait because she said, it just reminds me of something that you did that wasn't right. And then his second wife said the same thing.
Hmm.
So he just kept it hidden. And he said to me, if he did, said it once, he said it 15 times, I just don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to take it or how to give it back. I can't remember exactly where I you know, where the hedgerows were, where we were keeping the Germans at bay. So he didn't know what to do.
Well, thanks to his daughter and thanks to the internet, your college assistant and so many others, it's all been handled.
Yes.
What are your plans now with the documentary, and what do you hope to do with it at this point, the portrait?
Well, there are two things. One is I have been submitting it to film festivals, and happily it's an official selection in several film festivals, and it's won a couple of awards. So that helps when you're trying to sell the documentary and get it on the air.
Sure.
It's for purchase or rental on our website, which is thesilentsoldier.com.
Okay.
And I have just signed a deal with ProQuest, which is an educational distributor, so that it will be available to schools and high schools and colleges and to different community organizations around the country.
Perfect. Thank you. So those listening, if they're interested and would like to see it, there's options there for them.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. Now, as a professor and teaching film to your students, what do you tell your students when advising them on picking the stories or the topics to produce their student projects?
Well, I say to them that a story has to have a beginning, middle, and end. And not every story that kids come up with has a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
And you have to feel for the main character, whether it's a documentary or a drama or comedy. You have to care. And if you let those two things be your guide, you'll be okay. Even though I didn't spend any money raising money, the story was there.
Right.
So you didn't have to have a $2 million or a $1 million documentary. The story was the beauty.
Absolutely. My guest has been Garland Waller, producer and professor in TV and film at Boston University. Her newest documentary, The Silent Soldier and The Portrait. Garland, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for sharing the story of you and your father.
Thank you so much for this interview and for the questions and the thoughtfulness, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk. So thank you.
For more information about The Silent Soldier and The Portrait, visit our website at kvcinews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show.
Trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft, but then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowin' reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
That's our show. To hear any past interviews, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. While you're on our page, leave me a message or a suggestion for a topic that interests you. Thanks to all who make this show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Ethan Bortnick provides our theme music. A special thank you this Memorial Weekend to all that have served our country. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.
Boogie, boogie, bugle boy of Company B.